normally when I go to the retreat with the guys, I get up before everyone gets up on Sunday morning and I head back here. Yesterday I decided, because we lost an hour last night, I would leave last night after our last Bible study and head on back. When I got to a point where my phone would work, I called Connie, and Connie told me, you need to call Tommy. So I called Tommy, and he was discouraged, kind of down. I could hear it in his voice. And he told me that a Virginia State Trooper on Thursday was shot to death. Tommy thinks he was one of his driving trainers when he was in the academy last year. He was 61 years old, going to retire next year. And he went to a stop, as Tommy explained to me, was a stop they make several times every single day. Just someone on the side, car on the side of the road, someone just, you know, needing help. State Trooper drives up, don't know all the details yet, but wasn't even ever able to get out of his car. And the people in the other car just start shooting, and they killed him. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in life that can knock us off our feet. Could be things like that. Could be other things that just come in your life unexpectedly. Could be the death of someone you really care about. It could be an accident. It could be a break in a friendship that you've had for years. All kinds of things can cause us to want to quit. But there are a number of passages that deals with that issue. I don't know if there are any in the Word of God that gives us more help in dealing with that issue than 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me remind you, back in verse 1, he says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. And then down in verse 16, he says, so we do not lose heart. This chapter is about how not to lose heart, how not to quit, how not to give up, how not to stop serving God, how not to quit living the Christian life, how not to reach a point in your life where you just go through the motions. So this morning, I would like to talk to you about how you cannot lose heart. What things can you do to make sure that you don't get so discouraged that you quit and give up? And I guarantee that there are a million and one things that Satan wants to do in your life to get you so discouraged that you no longer live for Christ. He can even use the church. You know, to come to church and somebody offends you. Or you come to church and find out that there's been a church fight or argument. And you say, if that's the way church is going to be, I'm just not going to go anymore. I'm just going to stay in my room. Satan will use whatever he can to get you to stop serving God. What I would like to do is to give you some things that if you will hold on to these things, you will never quit. You will never get so discouraged that you give up. You will never lose heart. Number one, understand the value of the treasure we bear. Understand the value of the treasure we bear. Look at verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. If you go back to verse 1 through verse 6, you will find that the treasure he's talking about is the gospel. The treasure that we bear is the gospel. Now, if you look at the context of verse 7 and all we're going to read in a few moments, you will find that the jars of clay are you and me. They are our physical bodies. And let me say it this way, our frail human bodies. God has chosen to use you and I to be the recipients, the bearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could have chose angels. He could have had the rocks cry out. He could have used many different means for getting the gospel to this world, but he has chosen you and me. There is a contrast here between the value of the gospel and the value of the human heart, the human host. God took something of immense value, the gospel, and proclaimed it in this world. But he chose us, jars of clay. Jars of clay in those days where they were just laying all around. They had very little value. You can find them anywhere. But he chose us to be the vessel. Carry something that is beyond value. Metaphor which compares the apostles and his colleagues to common clay pots. The striking contrast between the splendor of the treasure and the commonness of the vessel in which stored directs attention away from the preacher, from the proclaimer of the gospel, to the glory of the message that is proclaimed. They were jars of clay as opposed to bronze jars. They were jars of clay as opposed to very valuable jars. They were cheap. They were disposable. They would be like today, a styrofoam cup. Broken clay pots were even used for writing pads in the ancient world. You and I are simply jars of clay. The treasure that we bear is within us. The value that makes the jar of clay worth anything is what we bear. It is the gospel. It is the gospel that points men to God. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. God has entrusted ministers. God has entrusted you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not change lives. I don't have any special power. Yesterday morning, we had a very intense Bible study. Some of the guys said that they'll never forget it. Some said that they could see steam rising from my head. As I talked to the guys about what it meant to be a mature Christian and talked to them about being satisfied with where we're at in our Christian life. And we talked about something very simple, a very simple Bible doctrine. What is the foundation of the church? And the guy said this, and the guy said that, and the guy said the other thing, and every time they gave me an answer, I kind of just turned redder and redder and redder and redder. Now, before we had this conversation, we were talking about, I threw out the question, whether they were mature or not, and where they were on their path to maturity. And by the way, the answer to the foundation of the church is not Peter. It is not the Holy Spirit. It is not even Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The foundation of the church upon which the church is built, according to Ephesians chapter 2, is the apostles and the prophets. And they gave way to the evangelists and pastors. And I said to the guys, you know, this doctrine that we just mentioned, it's kind of the kindergarten of church doctrine. I heard one of the guys walking away saying, I guess I'll never talk about maturity again. This treasure that we bear in us to this world, it is the valuable thing that we have. It is the most valuable thing that we have. It is what gives us value. We are simply jars of clay. Think about it. If you look in the mirror, what gives you value? What makes you better than anybody else? It's only the thing that we bear. It is the gospel. Paul said that of himself in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Peter and John, it was said of in Acts chapter 4. When God uses you and I with all our inabilities, with all our inadequacies, and he changes lives, it just shows that God is a powerful God. Someone wrote about Charles Spurgeon. They said this, an American journalist visited the Metropolitan Tabernacle, Spurgeon Church in London. The visitor was seated in an overflow section where he couldn't see the pulpit. It was, however, near the vestry door. At the time the service was to begin, he witnessed Spurgeon and some of the deacons coming out of the vestry and waiting at the bottom of the stairs to go up to the pulpit. He later reported that Spurgeon was so overcome by the size of the crowd and the weight of his ministry that he collapsed into the arms of the deacons. Only after prayer and reassurance from his deacons did Spurgeon ever enter the pulpit to face the people in the name of God. Of his phenomenal early success, Spurgeon wrote, "Who was I? Who was I that I should continue to lead so great a multitude?" Reminds me of Moses when God called him to go to Egypt. He said to God, "Who am I that I should do something like that?" You know, the sad thing is that so often people take credit for what God is doing. We're just jars of clay. We're just jars of clay. And when God uses this church, or God uses your lives, or God uses my lives, or God uses other churches, it just points to the fact of the great, awesome power of God. 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Only God who gives the growth." We must understand the thing that we bear is very valuable. And if you quit, and if you lose heart, and if you allow Satan to come into your life and say, "You know what, you might as well stop going to church. You might as well stop serving God. You might as well stop telling people about Jesus, because you know what? Most people don't listen anyway." Then Satan has just won another little victory. One more person that no longer carries that valuable treasure. Realize when you quit, you take one more soldier out of God's army, taking his treasure to this world. Number two, look again with me at verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power that belongs to God, not to us." Second thing I'd say to you this morning to help you to learn not to lose heart is to rely on the power of God. Rely on the power of God. Look what the apostle went through. Look, follow with me in verse 8. We are afflicted on every side or in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The power of God. God's power is available to every single one of us. So that even though you may be afflicted and perplexed and persecuted and struck down, you still will not be crushed and driven to despair and forsaken and destroyed. And even though you bear in your body the marks of Jesus, the death of Jesus, you will not give up. Let's look at these words. Notice the first one, it's the word afflicted. He said he was afflicted but not crushed. Now remember, he sees himself as a jar of clay. It's not very hard to break a jar of clay. In fact, all you got to do is grab the top of the jar, throw it up in the air, and let it land on the ground, and it's going to shatter. He was afflicted. It means to be pressed together as you would do grapes, to suffer hardship. But yet he was not crushed. The word crushed means to be hemmed in with difficulty, to find yourself in a place where there is no escape, no way out. But that didn't happen to him. Though he was afflicted, he was not crushed. Though he was squeezed like a grape, he did not fall apart. He always had a way out. Because God always gives us a way to bear, to stand up under trouble and affliction. Notice he was perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed means to be at a loss, uncertain, anxious, in doubt. Consternation. He was despaired. But yet, he was not despaired. If we take all the words I just gave you for the word perplex, really, if I narrow them all down, the word perplex means to be despaired. But yet, he says here, but I was not despaired, the next word. The next word, despair, that we read, next to perplex, means to be in utter despair, to despair completely, to be in extreme despair, to imply both anxiety and fear. In other words, in his life, he reached points where he felt like he was despaired, but yet he never reached the point where he was so despaired that he gave up. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said to me, you know what? Life is hard. And I said, yes. And I think they wanted me to say, nah, it's really not that hard. But it is. How many of you agree life is hard? All right, so I don't have to prove that to you. Life is hard. And there may be times where you don't feel like going forward. There may be times where you're really tired. I am dead tired this morning. There may be times where you just want to find the couch and crawl in it. Friday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, when I was putting another bunch of logs on the fire, I saw the couch, and I thought, I'm not going back up to bed. I'm going for that couch. But I did. I went back up to bed. He was despaired, but not so despaired that it reached the point where he gave up. Notice he was persecuted. But not forsaken. The word persecuted means that someone is pursuing or chasing after you. They are oppressing you and harassing you. The word forsaken means to be deserted. Though people chased after Paul and wanted to kill him, though people at one point shot stones at him so badly they thought he was dead, Paul says, you know what? God never forsaken me. God never deserted me. God was always there for me, and I was never left alone. He was hounded by his foe, but not left to his mercy. People chased after him, but God never deserted him. He was struck down, but not destroyed. The word struck down means to hurt badly. It means to suffer considerably. It means to literally knock a person down, knock them off their feet. But yet he says here he was not destroyed in verse 9. Each one's getting stronger here. He says, they actually knocked me off my feet, but they couldn't destroy me. Speaks of the ruin or the destruction where you actually so badly deal with a person that they've lost value. Knocked down to the ground, but not permanently grounded. He summarizes these thoughts in verse 10 through verse 12. All these things happening to him shows that he was bearing in his body the marks of Jesus, that in his body as he served Jesus, they did the same thing to Jesus. All these marks showed that he knew Jesus. All these marks showed that he served Jesus. And even these Corinthians actually benefited from these marks. Look at that in verse 12. So death is at work in us, but life in you. We need in our lives to learn to rely on the power of God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God took these weak vessels, these clay jars, and through them, he carried the gospel to this world. And the world has never been the same. The missionary who opened up inland China, J. Hudson Taylor, used to say this, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckon on him being with them. Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Where you go, I go. And I'll never leave you alone. May we learn to walk, may we learn to live relying on the power of God. And with that power in mind, let me say number three. Have faith in the resurrection. Have faith in the resurrection. Look at verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so also we speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. And bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. How did Paul endure all the things he endured? How do Christians get through all the things they go through? Here he quotes Psalm 116 in verse 10. And what he says is that all suffering ought to be seen in the light of the resurrection. All that we deal with in this world ought to be looked through the lens of the resurrection. In spite of all the suffering, in spite of all that happened to us in serving Christ, we know that one day we will rise from the dead and we will be with God. I think that's worth an amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. After getting through this entire chapter talking about the resurrection, in verse 58, here's what he says. Therefore, beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In other words, because of the resurrection of the dead, everything you do for Jesus Christ is not in vain. Therefore, be immovable, be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Everything you do for Jesus Christ has value. Don't quit. Don't give up. Death is not the end of the book. Death is not the end of the story. When life is over, and we look at all the trials and all the troubles and all the problems and all the difficulties, when life is over, we go to get to be with God for all eternity. Number four, and I say this all the time, keep an eternal perspective. Keep an eternal perspective. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4. Follow with me as I read verse 16 and following. So, we do not lose heart. Verse 1. We do not lose heart. Verse 16, we do not lose heart. This chapter is how not to lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away. Got to prove that to anybody? Do I have to prove to you that you're getting wrinkles as you get older? Do I have to prove to you that you lose hair as you get older and starts turning gray and instead of growing taller, you start getting shorter and wider? You know, do I have to prove to you that you know, when you were younger, you used to get up really early in the morning and stay up really late at night, and now you can't do it anymore. These bodies are getting older. They just can't do what they used to do. Our outer body is just wasting away. And you know what? It's not just that stuff. Though we haven't fully seen it here in America yet, Paul is also talking about the beatings that he had because of following Christ. The outer body is wasting away, but notice our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Let me remind you that to lose heart means to grow weary. It means to be discouraged. It means to get tired. It means to give up. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed. Outwardly, our physical bodies are falling apart, but inwardly, spiritually, we're growing stronger every day as long as we're spending time in God's Word, as long as we're spending time talking to our Heavenly Father, as long as we're spending time with fellow believers. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. For what? Notice he says we're facing, I just love how he says it, we're facing light, momentary affliction. Now, I don't know about you, but the things I read about Paul's life never seemed light and momentary. The word light means non-intense. The word momentary means a relatively short period of time. I think what he was saying is, as he looked at all his troubles in light of all eternity, you know what? All the troubles, all the problems just got light. They just got momentary. They just got small. Romans 8:18 says this, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." The troubles and the things that we're going through, you know, those kinds of things, sometimes when you're in the midst of them, you feel like you're going to die, you feel like you're going to give up, you feel like you'll never take another step. Those kinds of things, when we compare them with all eternity, they become little mosquito bites, little tiny things. Kinds of things that so often in life, you get past them, you look back at them, and you say, oh, you know what, that wasn't so bad. What was he doing? Verse 18, "We look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen." We fix our eyes on what is eternal. We focus our eyes on what is heavenward. Paul is saying, no matter how bad things got, he wasn't going to quit. Because he knew, no matter how bad things got in this world, they weren't going to last. And he knew, as he looked toward eternity, all the little stuff in this world, they just look so tiny. Let me say it this way. How do you keep from losing heart? Understand the value of the treasure that you bear. And if you give up, and if you quit, and if you don't serve God, and if you say, I'm done, I've had enough, I'm tired of being around Christians, I'm tired of people hurting me, I'm tired of people, you know, doing things that are wrong, I'm just not going to do it anymore, then you're one more person that is not bearing that valuable treasure to this world that so needs it. If you want to keep going forward, rely on God's power, not yours. If we went on our own power, some of us would go a little way, maybe some a little further, maybe some a little further, but when we rely on God's power, you go all the way. Have faith. Really, truly believe it, that one day we will stand in the presence of God because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And don't get lost in this world. Yeah, people. I see people so often, you look at their eyes, and their eyes are just stuck in what this world has to offer. Their eyes are just stuck in what this world wants to give them. They don't even think about heaven. There's an old saying that says that some people are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. I hardly ever see anyone like that. What I see is that people are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. Listen to this chorus. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that everyone here this morning would get this message. I pray, Lord, everyone here this morning would live and breathe this message. Lord, don't let anyone leave here without applying what they've heard this morning. It seems it comes so quick. Every time we turn around, something happens to try to get us to quit. And we see so many Christians that no longer go to church, no longer serve God, no longer want to do His work. Help us, Lord, not to quit. I pray, God, that we would be so strong that even if this earth flew apart, we would hang on to the strong tower and be safe. Help us, Father, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.